This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
As he dots strike three on the inside corner, one gone. We've heard the name Andrew Jones as a comparison for Robert. There's strike three. He busted him on a high fastball. Strike three. 2-2 for Bo Taylor. And strike three. Lucas elevates an off-speed pitch. High fastball, not his tempo, one gone. High fastball knocked him down. 6 strikeouts for Lucas Giolito.
It was a must-win game for us as a team. However you want to put it, we weren't going to come out tonight and put pressure on ourselves and look at our record at the start of the year. But the way I saw it was our first round starting pitching did not go well. And so it was time for us to make the adjustments we needed and go out there and have a good one. So I was happy to be able to do that, put up zeros.
Giolito's strikeouts, and then Lucas Giolito himself, thanks to NBC Sports Chicago. And Jason Benetti threw in a little Whiplash reference for us as well, if we were paying close attention. Not his tempo. Let's talk some White Sox with Josh Nelson. He is on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Josh?
I am doing well, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm wondering, this turn through the rotation now is going to be telling, because I'm wondering when some decisions get made to maybe try some promoting the young studs and handing them the ball instead of going again with Gio Gonzalez or whoever is going to make up for the Ronaldo Lopez being out. You know, there are some young pitchers who might just want to take the ball.
Yeah, and one of those young pitchers that I was hoping was going to stay healthy this year, Jimmy Lambert, is unfortunately on the 10-day IL. And I thought that the way that he was throwing early for the White Sox, that he merited to have a little bit of an extended run than just throwing one inning. But I don't blame the White Sox, because his fastball velocity did dip in his second time out for the season from 93 to 91. And they view that as a red flag, and they are saying that it's a forearm strain, and this is a pitcher coming off Tommy John surgery. But I'm glad you mentioned as far as Gio Gonzalez. My concern with Gio Gonzalez is I just don't know if physically he can hold up and pitch 5 innings. And if he can't, then Rick Renteria and Don Cooper need to sit down and come up with some type of bullpen by committee strategy when it's time for Gio Gonzalez to get the ball. And you're hoping that Gonzalez can go 3 innings, 4 innings and keep the team in the game and not get blown up. He didn't look great against the Minnesota Twins, but again, not many White Sox pitchers outside of Dallas Keuchel look good against the Twins. But it'll be interesting to see how he does against the Kansas City Royals. And if Gonzalez can't because of physical limitations, Dan, I keep an eye on Dane Dunning. And I know that he hasn't got a chance to pitch in AAA, but all of a sudden the White Sox starting pitching depth with Ronaldo Lopez in the IL, with, you know, his shoulder inflammation, and Jimmy Lambert is on the IL, the White Sox starting pitching depth is starting to go away. And next in line would be Dane Dunning. It'd be interesting to see what he can do on the mound for the White Sox.
Yeah, that was the name that I was going to get to, and you beat me to it. That the way we're defining some of these things as crisis or in case of emergency break glass, that you would hate to have figured something out too late. And right. you can only experiment with it when you get the opportunities. And the fact is, the bullpen's been pretty good. That, you know, Aaron Bummer looks terrific. Ross Detweiler is getting people out. I mean, you do have a situation where it's not like the bullpen isn't trustworthy at this point.
Yeah, and another name to throw out there is Evan Marshall. Evan Marshall's been very good as well for the White Sox. And that helps, especially in the seventh and eighth inning when Renteria can go to Marshall and Bummer, and then we'll figure out what version of Alex Colome we're going to get in the ninth inning. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned as far as Ross Detweiler. What a turnaround from last year. I mean, 3 2/3 scoreless innings, no hits, no walks, and he's got 5 strikeouts. I mean, he looks completely different than the Ross Detweiler we saw last year, and you watch him pitch and you kind of like squint at the screen and just wonder, should they give him a chance to start? That's a terrible idea. We know how this goes. And then you watch him throw some more. It's like, well, maybe. But again, the other thing that I'm wondering about is if Major League Baseball, because we're just going on the fly here in 2020, Dan, is that they change their mind about the roster. I think, especially what's going on with Miami, that the 30-man roster should stay for the entire 2020 season. And if it doesn't, then the White Sox have to consider getting 2 players off their roster in a couple of weeks here, as they have to trim down to 28. That's the current plan right now. Obviously, things can change. But if it's going to be 30 men for the rest of the season, then I would call up Dane Dunning and I would give him some reps now, see what he does against Major League Baseball teams. And if he gives you confidence to start games, great. You could have him start the game. And if he's shaky, then you can go to a Ross Detweiler or then a Jimmy Cordero. And then you can hope that the offense scores enough runs. And then if you have a lead and you give it to Marshall and Bummer, they can take you to the ninth, and we'll see what happens in the ninth inning with Alex Colome. That's not the worst strategy in the world for the Chicago White Sox, especially the situation they're in right now with the injuries and Michael Kopech opting out with their starting rotation.
I hate being lineup guy because it's generally a loser's battle being batting order guy or lineup guy. But this year, you know, everything's magnified. Everything matters more. You know, when even Steve Stone is on this show saying, yeah, Nicky Delmonico fourth may not be your best idea, looking for balance in there, even though he's not one of your better hitters. And it's time for Luis Robert to move up in the order and bat more often. You know, and I generally don't like doing it, but I guess I have to. Where are you on the significance of Ricky Renteria's lineup so far?
Well, come on. Nicky Delmonico doubled his OPS plus yesterday by not playing, Dan. It's at 2.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you as well. And I don't think Rick Renteria has been optimizing his lineup. What's not helping when you look at the first, when you look at the numbers after the first 2 series, is that Yasmani Grandal and Edwin Encarnacion are off to slow starts. And those are your number 4, number 5 hitters right now. So it looks like the White Sox have some offense generating early with Anderson and Mikata being teamed up. Abreu is hit or miss right now in the first 6 games. Nothing really coming from Grandal and Encarnacion. And then the offense picks up again with Jimenez and Robert. And I wonder if you flip Jimenez and Robert with Grandal and Encarnacion and put those guys at 4 and 5 and then move Grandal to 6 and Encarnacion to 7 just for this upcoming series against Kansas City, if that gives you more runs. As you mentioned, it's a short season, but Rick Renteria has time to experiment. I think that's a more valuable experiment to have the young kids move up in the lineup and get more plate appearances at this moment because they are hitting well and they are providing offensive impact to the White Sox while the veterans are off to a slow start. I think that's a more valuable experiment than to see if Nicky Delmonico can hit 2nd or 4th in your lineup.
The other guy that's off to a surprising start in his 12 plate appearances is Adam Engel. And I think the batting average of balls in play of 625 might be evidence there. But he's currently at a weighted on base average of 519 and a WRC plus of 242. At near the end of last year, he made a bit of a change. And I think this was a launch angle change for a guy who's always been fast and despite being big enough to have a little bit of pop. When do we start to wonder if his material change has made him incrementally just better?
Well, first of all, those numbers are totally sustainable. Adam Engel's the fourth outfielder. And this is what's been kind of puzzling with the whole Nicky Delmonico situation with the White Sox is, why is Delmonico getting these at-bats? Like, and this is something that Jim Margulis and I have been going back and forth on. Like, we don't know what Delmonico does well, but we do know what Adam Engel does well. And he plays elite defense. And if he's got an elite skill, Engel should be getting these starts over Delmonico. Now, when Eloy Jimenez lost the war again to the wall trying to make a play, obviously Delmonico would have gotten those starts. But moving forward, with Nomar Mazara still in Schaumburg, I think Adam Engel has proven so far that he should be getting those starts in right field. And even though he's batting ninth, just to see if these adjustments are sustainable, if he can continue to produce at the bottom of the lineup. I wouldn't be crazy. I wouldn't move him up in the lineup, but stick him at nine and see if you get any type of offensive production, because you know what you get defensively. Right field is taken care of, and Luis Robert can shadow more in left field and hopefully prevent Eloy from hurting himself trying to field any fly balls again. It's encouraging. We are seeing progress from Adam Engel, but we've seen this before in the past where he's had a good week or a good 2 weeks, and then he looks really bad. So fingers crossed, these are sustainable changes for Adam Engel, but he should be getting the playing time right now instead of Nicky Delmonico.
Lastly, briefly, can we keep Eloy Jimenez from running into things, or is this just going to bedevil him throughout his career?
I told Lawrence a couple days ago, Dan, that he needs to adopt the Carlos Lee defensive philosophy of not trying in left field. Just field the fly balls that are hit directly at you, field the grounders, and hit the cutoff man. That's all you need to do right now in left field, because the range that Luis Robert has is insane. Insane. In your previous segment, something I was thinking about, because you're, you know, talking about Bo Jackson. I wonder on where Luis Robert would be drafted based on his skills performance at the draft combine in Indianapolis. If you had him lift weights, if you had him run the 40, if you had him do the cone as far as the shuffle time,
right?
Just based on those stats, where would he go? And I wonder if he'd be top 10.
In which sport?
Insane right now.
I mean, he could be drafted in three sports at that point.
That's true.
Josh, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. Great stuff.
Hey, no problem, Dan. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.